a little bit about technology and access to education. There are any number of statistics which we could go and have a look at. But it is interesting, back in 73, Trove had worked on a taxonomy to define, well, when have you attained mass education in a higher education system. And back in 73, a gross enrollment ratio, the normal age cohort that would be participating in higher education, if you had reached 15%, you would be classified as providing mass education. But interestingly, most of the industrialized countries around the world have a gross enrollment ratio in excess of 50%. So, I mean, it shows you the tremendous success that higher education has had over a relatively short period of time. But sadly, for example, if you go and look at a continent like Africa, on average, the gross enrollment ratio is very often lower than 3% for the age cohort. And traditional educational delivery is simply not going to be able to address the challenges we are facing in the developing world. Just as a short little example, it just happens I've come back from an international mission to Kenya. And the Kenyan High Commission for UNESCO, I was sitting down chatting with her, and she said to me, "Wayne, there's just one thing we want you to do with open and free content, particularly in secondary education, is how do we get 70% of our children into school or give them access to school-level education?" And the situation in Kenya is basically this. The gross enrollment ratio for secondary education in Kenya is roughly about 30%, which means 70% of the kids that should be in school aren't getting a secondary education. What is even more worrying than that, if you go and look at the per capita income of the average Kenyan, it's about $400 per annum. The cost of sending one child to secondary school in Kenya is roughly about $150 for a year. So that's 30% of distributable income. And you can start beginning to understand how difficult these problems are to tackle within the developing world. Access to infrastructure, and one of the interesting statistics, of course, to look at is the access to the internet in Africa. The stats for the US in 2006 are roughly one user for every 1.5 people. Whereas in Africa, and these are very distorted figures, about one user for every 38 people, but they're distorted because of two things. One, the access to internet in South Africa, and the access to internet in Egypt. But if you're going to do the real calculations, you will see that access to the internet is roughly about one user for every 250 to 400 people in Africa. So it's an interesting challenge in terms of how we're going to get rich digital content in the developing world. But what is even more interesting and what is more exciting is if you go and measure the growth of internet usage in Africa compared with North America. Now, part of this is because the problem is so great, but I mean, access to the internet has increased fourfold over the last 5 years. And this is very promising. This is very promising. I've spent a lot of my time working in Africa and South African by birth myself. But what is, I believe that continents like Africa are going to be responsible for pioneering next generation pedagogy, whatever that may or may not mean. And I ascribe this to the forward-looking disposition we have in Africa and the fact that access to technology is surmountable. The problem of access is not a technological problem, and this is very important. This is a citation, it's around the challenges of globalization from an African chap in Mozambique. And Africa's view is basically this. You cannot be part of the global village by just sitting around and waiting to be globalized. We want to be the globalizers. And this is a testament to the African Renaissance and the spirit that we're seeing in the developing world. And I want to show this spirit by one example. I've got an image up there from the NC3 course. This is the no computer course, you know, the no computer computer course. It's a course about computers without computers. And the background to this is it's a program that is taking place in rural Nigeria. And it's a community-driven project where the women of the community of this rural village said that they want to learn about technology. And the response was, well, actually, you know, how are we going to do this? They said, no, we want to learn about technology. We want to learn about computers, and we want to learn about the future. And what they do is they've got a whole range of laminated posters from life experiences where there have been associations with technology, and have mapped this to, you know, the fundamentals of, you know, computer processing. And I mean, the image there, that's a class sitting under the mango tree in the village, the no computer computer. It's just an illustration of the passion of African people to move forward with technology. And the sense in Africa is not about using legacy technology, because what very often happens is folk will come in, you'll get international advisors coming in and saying, well, you actually don't have access to infrastructure, therefore you've got to use legacy technology. And that is not the will and the heart of the African people. We want to move forward. In terms of providing access to education, there are any number of projects in Africa that relate to addressing the challenge of getting access. This is the Tux Labs project. It's a South African project. And what this project does is it takes old computer terminals and refurbishes them. But they're very, very smart. They use a Linux thin client model, and they invest money in a new server and run the server on Linux technology. It's pretty smart, because if you think about it, why would you want to throw a computer away? So, I mean, why should it be of any use to Africa? So, I mean, but the advantage of this model is that you have one server installation and one piece of software that needs to be maintained. And this particular project is not only about providing technology. When they go and set up labs, it's communities helping other communities. So you'll have a school who's taught how to set up one of these labs. And teachers will actually be taught how to hardwire the lab. So you get a first line of support taking place in these labs. And with the next installation of a Tux lab, that school community would then go and help the next school in establishing one of these laboratories. It's just one of the projects in terms of, you know, how we can address the technology challenge.